Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Redbox Media. Good morning. I guess I got my seat all set. You know, I'm supposed to be ready for that, right, before we go live. But no, Allison's rearranging her bottom. That's a way to start the show, huh? I'm just rearranging my bottom. Welcome. Oh, you never know. I'm so glad you show up every day because you just never know what's going to come out. I don't know what's going to come out of my mouth. I wish you could see my notes. There's like two notes here that says go live. And you're on. Today, we're going to look a little bit more at this week's book. What is it called? Way of Wonder, Wisdom from G.G. That's not even a J. G.K. Chesterton, compiled by Dale Alquist, who doesn't know what he has in for him tomorrow when he graciously joins me here live at A Seeking Heart to talk about his compilation of wonderful quips and insights and quotes from G.K. Chesterton. And you might know him, Dale Alquist. He joined Mark Shea for a while on here on Breadbox Media on Mark's show, Connecting the Dots, which is live 5 p.m. daily. He's got a different co-host for each day, Simca Fisher. Fisher? Well, you know, like I'm from New England, so it's Fisher. But you'd probably say Fisher if you knew how to speak the English language. I obviously do not. Anyway, it's Connecting the Dots, Mark Shea, 5 p.m., funny show. Just very funny stuff comes out of there. I hope you tune in for that. And I'm glad that you've tuned in today. I'm in a way better mood today. Way better mood. So yesterday I was sharing that just had another bump in the road with my son. And I have to tell you, I'm so grateful that this is my response to things now. And they don't always, by the way, they don't always go exactly the way I hope they're going to, but I find there's such peace when I do this, which I'm going to tell you in a minute, instead of my old reaction, which was to panic, to freak out, to be really reactive to stuff. So my reaction now when things are not going, or I'm according to my schedule, my plan, or I discover things that are upsetting about my children, I go to prayer. The first thing I did was I took out a little prayer book. I think I shared that yesterday, a little prayer book from Pauline Books and Media with Saint Dimphna, who is the patron of mental and emotional illness. I pulled out her book, a little prayer book, and beautiful prayers, morning prayers in the beginning of it, the Psalms. The Psalms are definitely a place to turn when you need prayer and don't know where to find prayer. Like you're just at that point in whatever situation it is, and you just don't know how to pray anymore or what to say, I turn to the Psalms. I just love them. They're filled with like trust in the Lord, trust in Him and in God, and He will do it. The Lord delights in giving you the desires of your heart. Be strong. I will not abandon you, forsake you. Like, these are words I need to hear. I can't be the only one. And there's like a plethora of them. There's a bunch of them. There's just a boatload. There's a boatload of Psalms. And so they're a great place to turn. It's often where I tell people to start reading the Bible. If it's like your first day with the Bible and you have no idea where to begin, where to start, I always say go to the Psalms, the Gospel of John, are Paul's letters to the Romans. Those are like three of my go-to places, like where I found as I started to read, the easiest places to read. I felt like it drew me into God's Word. And obviously, you got to pray to the Holy Spirit first. You never tackle God's Word without God. That doesn't make any sense. And who do we have as our advocate, our guide, our our God in our pocket. That's not right. That just came to me, but that's how I, like, God in my pocket. It's the Holy Spirit. When Jesus ascends, which today, by the way, is the Feast of the Ascension. Happy Feast Day. If you haven't yet, get thyself to Mass. It is a holy day of obligation, which means it's a day that we as practicing Catholics are called to attend Mass. And you'll probably find one at this point at noon, if you're listening live, or at 7 or 5 p.m., 7 p.m., 7:30 in your area. If you're listening on podcast and it's a Friday or a Saturday and you missed it, get ye self to confession. You know, it wasn't intentional, especially if you're just hearing this for the first time. It's a moment of, it's a holy day of obligation. I used to have a friend. I still have the friend, but she wasn't as faithful yet when we first became friends. And one day I reminded her of it was the holy day of obligation. And I reminded her and she was so mad at me. She's like, okay, up until 2 minutes ago, I wasn't culpable for this sin. I didn't have to go to Mass, but now that I know, I have to get there. You know, and it shouldn't look like an obligation. Oh, I have to go, or, you know, the smoke, God's going to smote me on the spot. Lightning's going to hit me. No, opportunities to go to Mass should fill our hearts with joy. We should be so happy that the Lord has provided this extra opportunity to be with Him, to receive Him in the Eucharist. I know I used to roll my eyes all the time at holy days and be like, oh, I don't have time for Mass today. I'm going on Sunday. That's enough. But now that I know that when I go to Mass and I receive the Eucharist, I'm receiving grace, God's undeserved yet freely given gift of Himself within me, that strengthens me, that fills my heart where it's so empty. Like, I don't realize how empty it is until I go to Mass and it is filled by Him through His sacrifice on the cross. I get to receive Him. I get to, like, come on, this is incredible. We get to be intimately attached with Jesus for that moment that we receive Him. It's so beyond our thinking. Like, I don't even try anymore to figure out how that's Jesus or why that's Jesus. I just accept it. Faith like a child. Like, this is cool. And if you allow yourself to really be in that moment, like, don't chew Jesus. Let Him melt on your tongue. Like, just put yourself in that moment of what is happening as you become one with Christ and His power is within you, and you can, you know, pray at that moment for whatever is troubling your heart. Or of course, it's Eucharist means Thanksgiving, so to give God praise and thank you. And, you know, to get back to how this all started, was talking about my son and what I went to, you know, into prayer, and I prayed the Psalms, and then I went to praising. You know, I went outside and I did my prayer walk, my rosary walk, and halfway through, you know, I'm all my on every bead, it's like, please fix, please fix, please fix, make this better, make this go away, make it, you know, help me, like help, 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 fix, 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 do, do, do. Like, that was pretty much my prayer. You ever been there? You ever prayed like that? Fix, 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 do, 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 pray, pray, beg, beg, beg. Like, just fix it. Make it better. Make it go away. And then halfway through, I said, you know what? This is crazy. And it actually came from yesterday's book, Way of Wonder, Wisdom from G.K. Chesterton. At one point, we were reading G.K.'s words, Chesterton's. I think he goes by Chesterton. See how the neophyte I am? I'm just so not a scholarly girl. So Chesterton is saying, you know, what a wonder it is that you've even created me, and that you're thinking of me is astounding. And if you fail to think of me for 1 minute, I would cease to exist. That isn't all Chesterton. That's a little bit of Alison Abridged thrown in there. But that's truth. It's the truth. So realizing God created my son, He loves him infinitely more than I do, that upon our death, we become one with God, and we're no longer mother and son, but we're both children of God. It just brought my heart peace. And I started to praise God in that moment and praise him for what he will do, believing with my whole heart, you will make this better. You will show me how to handle it. You will give us strength. You will just guide us in this next chapter of parenting, because parenting is ever so much fun. And I finished the rosary. I came in the house and I was just inspired by the Holy Spirit. I called my husband and I said, you need to daddy up on this one. This is your moment here. You need to be the go-between the two of us. And we talked about how we would handle it and what we would say, and just prayed. We both outpoured our hearts to the Lord to give us the words and just pray. And I have to tell you, by the end of the day yesterday, my son and I were talking. We talked about every issue under the sun that is a bone of contention with us. Like, he always thinks that I'm riding him, that I'm on his case, and, you know, that I'm judging him. And I really just, and he has no desire to be faithful in any way, shape, or form right now. And to be able to talk about these things, yet still framed around my faith, but in a way that he was open to hear it, that we had such an understanding at the end of our conversation. So we went from this start of the day that was just unsettling and frightening and horrific, and just brought me to my knees. Literally, I also went to get adoration yesterday. Can't forget that piece of the puzzle. I went to adoration, went to my knees. We're going to talk a little bit about prayer posture today in our discussion about Chesterton, this new book compiled by Dale Ahlquist from Pauline Books and Media. But then the end of the day, you know, giving God the whole situation. And I'm not saying that if you do that, it's going to be resolved in one day. But praise God, this at least has started to be resolved. Oh, there's way more to come. And the Lord, we just got to keep turning to him and praising him for what he will do and what he has done and how much he loves us. And he loves our children infinitely more than we do. Is that unbelievable to think about? I hope you stay tuned. We have so much more right here on A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Okay, sorry. Hi, we're live and I need to be talking. Someone just asked me to find a mass nearby for them. So when you tell people they have to go to church, they suddenly want you to fix their problems, which I would love to. So that's why I was on Facebook. I actually was on Google looking for a afternoon mass for them. Anyway, we're back and we're talking about Chesterton today. Way of Wonder, Wisdom from G.K. Chesterton, compiled by Dale Ahlquist. And this is out from Pauline Books and Media. It's part of their phenomenal, like, I don't use that word lightly, Classic Wisdom Collection from Pauline Books and Media. Like, I have had this collection long before I had the show. And so I'm speaking to you as a person who loves books and loves spiritual reading and not as somebody, I don't get paid to sell books. I just love them, and they changed my heart, and they changed my life, and that's why I talk about books so much. But some of them from this classic wisdom collection, again, Pauline Books and Media, pauline.org for more information. But some of my faves, Secret to Happiness, Wisdom from John the 23rd, love that man. Comfort in Hardships, Thérèse of Lisieux. Courage in Chaos, Francis de Sales. Secret of the Spirit, Luis Martinez. Like, there's just some people that, like, I didn't even know existed until this wisdom collection came in. I would run every time a new one came out to the Pauline Books and Media Center in Dedham, Massachusetts. That's the one closest to me. And be like, all right, is the new one out? Is the new one out? So I'm excited. And that's why I chose to do this book, because this is their newest. Again, Wisdom from G.K. Chesterton, from compiled by Dale Alquist. This is their newest. And even though I could be completely honest, I totally don't get most of what Chesterton says, I'm starting to get better at it. It's like just from a person I've never studied. I'm not a very academic or scholarly type Christian Catholic girl. I like touchy-feely St. John's Gospel. Give me, let me read the scriptures and let God tell me, how much he loves me, kind of a relationship with Christ. And I'm not saying that Chesterton didn't, but that's how I saw him. This is how I've always looked at his writings. And the more I've spent time with this book, the more I've realized that I have, one, been kind of unfair to Mr. Chesterton. And second, he has something to offer me. And I'm excited to have Dale here tomorrow just to give me more insight and to help me understand even better how to read Chesterton, what book to start with. Like, I like these kind of books because I get bits and pieces. Like, I can't imagine reading one from cover to cover. I just can't. But when I get these little nuggets that people pull out, for instance, this is how I ended up reading Soul, Story of a Soul by Thérèse Lisieux. I first started to read it cover to cover, and I stalled quickly. I was like, yeah, I don't get this. It's kind of boring. It drones on. Where's all the wisdom? And then part of the Classic Wisdom Collection included St. Thérèse, and in there they'd pull out those little nuggets, and I was like, oh, what this is teaching me lots of good stuff. This is in here, I want more. And so what my friend Nita and I decided to do, because we both wanted to read it, but both of us were kind of struggling to get through it. In fact, I think she has it. I need to figure out where we are in this process, because I don't think we've finished it. Well, if I've had it, she'll tell me to. It's in your pockets. It's in your corner somewhere, Allison. Go through your books. Anyway, we decided to share it. So what I would do is I would read and underline and make notes and then sticky notes in it. I read like a couple of pages, maybe 10 or so. And then I'd give it to her. And she'd read it, read my notes, read my thoughts, and then share her thoughts. It was really a great way of getting through. And we did it for an entire summer, I think. I think it was the summertime. We got through most of it. So if there's a classic that you have always wanted to read, The Imitation of Christ, Thomas A. Kempis, one of my faves, Devotion, what is that one from St. Francis de Sales? He's The Life of Devotion, I think it's called. I don't know. I'll look that up during the break. I'm so bad at the titles of songs, of books, but he's got some amazing works. So you can either go with the Classic Wisdom Collection and get just the nuggets from these great classics and the writings of these amazing saints and holy men and women, or you can do like Nita and I did and find a buddy. We would exchange the book in adoration, because we had adoration the same time once a week. And so I would, we'd bring the book back and forth, and either I would read it in adoration if I hadn't yet gotten to my quote-unquote homework, and then I would give it to her, and then the next week she would give it back. So find a buddy to read with you. Obviously, you know me and my small group studies. This is how I got through Imitation of Christ, and I actually ended up writing questions to go with The Imitation of Christ. I should pull those out. I'm going to do that book very soon. There is a children's version of it, and I'm trying to reach the author and see if I can get her to come on so we can talk about The Imitation of Christ. Such a great book. But we ended up doing it as a small group study. It was hard. For some of us, it was way beyond our thinking of Christ. And it was written in a different time period, which also can make things difficult. And what are we looking to get from this? And so I did some questions that helped us prod through it. So small group, a reading buddy, or again, the Classic Wisdom Collection. Lots of great ways to get through spiritual reading that may seem a little bit more difficult for you. just a couple of thoughts on that. I really can't tell you enough, like, how I can't even imagine where I would be right now without spiritual reading. And what do I mean by spiritual reading? I mean books written, nonfiction books written that bring me closer to God through somebody's story, their testimony, the scriptures. I mean, there's all kinds of different books. Just go to reconciledto.com and click on radio show and click through all last year's. All of the pictures are up there with links to the author's interviews, with all the different types of Catholic books that are available. I did children's books, nonfiction, young adult, fiction, and many in Bible studies. I did many different kinds. And then I had Sarah Reinhardt and Pete Socks on, who gave us even more books. So if you're struggling to get to know Christ, if you're struggling to understand things of the Catholic faith, then maybe a good book would help. No, I know it helped me a lot, and I know that coming together with others to realize, first and foremost, you're not the only one who's seeking something beyond yourself, that's seeking peace and hope and trust and faithfulness and some kind of shelter in this crazy world. Then having a small group that you can come together and share with is incredible. Monday's Bible study group was just off the charts incredible. I just, when I think it can't get any better, they knock my socks off. You know, and afterwards I had to send them a message and just say how much they mean to me. And I can't imagine my faith without the books or without other people to share, especially when you are in maybe a family that doesn't live the faith as much as you want to or at all. And to have other people who say, yes, I love God. Yeah, there's a whole lot about him I don't understand. Like, when this bad thing happened, it made me stumble. We were talking about a couple weeks ago, we were talking about, you know, places in our life that we've fallen away from prayer. Like, when have we been close to God and when have we shut him out? And I shared that during the years that I was seeking to have babies. Like, I prayed and I got pregnant, and then he was born premature, and he, praise God, he did well. He's making me crazy now, but you know, he was healthy. And then I got pregnant again, and I had an ectopic that nearly took my life, and I was scared and yet praying, but still unsure what God was doing. And then I got pregnant again about six or seven months later, and that baby miscarried, and I was done. There was no praying to be had after that, because I saw that praying, in my mind, praying didn't produce the outcome I wanted. So why bother? You know, look, I prayed, I asked God this simple thing just to let me have this a healthy baby, and I, you know, lost two, and it was painful, and I was angry, and I walked away. Over time, I realized that I was way lonelier without God than I was with him, and that he had big shoulders and could take my anger. So I started to angry pray. You know, angry prayer, when everything is just, I'm mad at you, and how could you do this, and I thought you loved me. And over time, I softened, and I still have moments where I get angry with God, but I am glad that my life includes God, because it is so difficult, and without him, it was impossible for me. I was in despair without him. Now I have hope, even in my times of trouble. We're going to have more of Way of Wisdom, Way of Wonder, Wisdom from G.K. Chesterton, compiled by Dale Alquist, Classic Wisdom Collection, Pauline Books and Media. I hope you stay tuned for more mispronounced words right here on A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Jiggers here on Redbox Media. We really are going to be talking about Way of Wonder, wisdom from E.K. Chesterton, compiled by Dale Alquist, Classic Wisdom Collection, Pauline Books and Media. And I'm going to just jump, before I say anything else and go off on another rabbit hole tangent, we're going to just jump right into the book. The man who said, "Blessed is he that expecteth nothing, for he shall not be disappointed," put the eulogy put the eulogy quite inadequately and even falsely. The truth is, blessed is he that expects nothing, but he shall be gloriously surprised. Hello, that is awesome. I think even simple-minded Allison can understand that. Let me say that again. Blessed is he that expects nothing, for he shall be gloriously surprised. When was the last time God surprised you? When's the last time just God knocked your socks off? You know, everyone makes fun of my signs, and they can do that. I'm cool with that. You can make fun of my fidelity trucks and my butterflies and my roses, but I like them. They remind me that God is listening, that he is real. It helps me to see the unseen. Like, why would we have sacraments that make the unseen grace of God tangible, you know, through the water, through the anointing, through the voice of the priest? Like, why would God give us that, but then not allow his creation to be something that reminds us that he is with us? You know, the butterflies that are the dandelions. I love dandelions. Dandelions and some of the people tell me cardinals. And you know, what is it that God sends you? You know, let me know. Go on to Reconcile to You. You can go there if you want. I always want you on ReconcileToYou.com. But go to A Seeking Heart Allison Jinger's Facebook page and let me know, what signs do you receive that let you know that God is with you? Oh, feathers. That was the one somebody was telling me yesterday or Tuesday. It was feathers. Every time she talks about her mother who's passed away, these really random crazy feathers show up. And I believe that is a sign that either the Lord is allowing her mother to place those there, or he's putting them there, or her guardian angel, you know, brings them to her to bring her comfort, to let her know that she's okay. That, by the way, let me just little rabbit hole here, an important one. Even if you feel with your whole heart that your loved one is in heaven, don't stop praying for them, because we have no idea how long it takes and what it takes for them to be in heaven. So keep praying for them. Pray every day for your beloved dead, your aunts, your uncles, your grandparents, your cousins, your children, whoever it may be, your parents. Pray for them every day. And if they don't need it, the Lord uses those elsewhere. So it's not like he's going to waste a prayer. But even if you get those signs, you know, like when she was talking to me about the feathers, I was thinking, well, I think that's beautiful, and how wonderful it must make you feel to, you know, feel like your mother has is a presence somewhere or nearby. But, you know, to warn them not to stop praying for them. You know, one of the spiritual works of mercy is to pray for the living and the dead. And we need to continue to offer prayers, mass. Masses are huge. If you want to know more about that, listen to my show with Susan Tassone. She was on in April sometime. You can go to reconciletoyou.com and click on the radio show. All the notes are there. All the notes. Most of the notes are there. I'm so behind. I'm still praying for the Lord to send me an assistant. One that doesn't want money. I think I can find someone to get prayed in prayer. Will you take prayer currency? Your retirement benefits are the bomb diggity. I keep telling my very close friend Kathy that if the Lord ever provides in the ministry in a way that affords me to do so, she totally has a job. I would love to hire a helper. Anyway, wow, my rabbit hole went down another rabbit hole. I'm like lost underground. Back up for air, Allison. Back up for air. So when was the last time God surprised you? And how did he surprise you? Give me a call. 573-4BREAD-4. 573-4BREAD-4. I know you're listening because you send me messages. All right, so maybe it's a little frightening to give me a call. How about a text? 573-4BREAD-4. 573-4BREAD-4 is also a text line. And if you text in, you will get, they'll read me your response. So how does God surprise you? What sign does God send you? Is it dragonflies, butterflies, feathers? Something even stranger than that? Who knows? I'd love to hear. 573-4BREAD-4. 573-4BREAD-4. And then this quote from Mr. Bernard Shaw, Heretics, again, G.K. Chesterton, goes on to say, "The man who expects nothing sees redder roses than common men can see, and greener grass, and more startling sun. Blessed is he that expects nothing, for he shall possess the cities and the mountains. Blessed is the meek, for he shall inherit the earth." Now, of course, that's one of the Beatitudes. Until we realize that things might not be, we cannot realize that things are. That's the little example of how Allison can get lost in Chesterton's work, but yet how powerful and beautiful it is. It's not something you just read through like on the subway on your way to work. It's definitely words for you to ponder, to sit with, to contemplate. But this one I got. Expect nothing, and then God just knocks your socks off. I love that. Totally love that. And here's another one, and this is kind of definitely in line with that same thought process of the signs to me are also those God-sidence moments, you know, like the things that you can't make happen if you tried, and you could excuse them off and say, well, that was a strange coincidence, but I can't do that. For me, I see God in all things. And even in Fidelity trucks, you know, like walking that rosary walk around my yard, I have lived in this house over 20 years. I've never seen a truck go by, even really paid attention to the trucks going by, quite honestly. And I have a big bay window. Like, I look at a highway, cars go by 24/7, and I've never read the side of them until that one day that I was praying the rosary, walking around my yard. I go along the back of my house, and I turn to the left. And when I turn to the left, I'm facing the highway. And as I'm walking straight before I turn left, I'm like just begging the Lord to tell me what he needs from me. I wasn't feeling well at that time. Our finances were a disaster. Kind of still are. I was tired. Don't try to use big words if you don't know how to pronounce them, Allison. Note to self. I was tired. I was despaired. I just didn't know what God wanted anymore. And I turned left, and then across this highway comes this giant truck with the word Fidelity across the side of it, which first made me laugh because, of course, God's going to speak in Latin. And the word Fidelity means faithfulness. You know, God wanted faithfulness from me. He wasn't asking any more for me to stay trusting in him, in his providence, in his words, in his hopes, in him, period, fidelity. And the funny part is that that truck goes by so much now, but only do I see it when it's like I can sense it's going to come. Like I have this thought, you know, and then there it is. Like And I don't look for it. I don't say, Lord, make the truck come if, because that's tempting and testing God. And I don't do that because that's dangerous and I'm not in that business. But I love that just as like the butterfly will show up or the feather will fall, that Fidelity truck goes by. Talk about needing a Mack truck to get God's point through, huh? I may be a little stubborn, just a tiny bit stubborn. And here's the quote that reminded me of God's sentences. It's from the philosopher. The very things we cannot comprehend are the things we have to take for granted. The very things we cannot comprehend are the very things we have to take for granted. To take for granted that God is hearing us and that He is with us and that He's given us life and giving it to us abundantly and He's not going to forsaken or abandon us. And that I love that He gives us these, when He gives us these moments. Oh, here's something interesting. A thought to ponder as we finish off this segment. A man must take what is called a leap in the dark, as he does when he is married or when he dies or when he is born or when he does almost anything else that is important. And that's from W.W. Jacobs, A Handful of Authors. We must take a leap of faith, a leap in the dark, which is really a leap of faith. Like, God doesn't reveal. That's not trusting God. Like, if I say, okay, Lord, give me the whole plan, lay it out for me, and then I'll decide whether I'm going to do it or not. That's not trust. That's not faith. That's not fidelity. It's when you feel God calling you and you say, I have no idea where this is going, Lord, but I believe that in the darkness, I will find you. We'll continue with more from Chesterton after these messages. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. I'm still looking for that. I'm still looking for that mass for that person who sent me a message asking me, okay, smarty pants, if you want me to go to mass today, find me one. I'm trying. But I ended up opening this bulletin from a local church. Okay, first of all, if your website view of your bulletin has arrows like a book, you may have a bulletin that's too big. I like it, but that's crazy. That's a lot of information you're jam-packing in there. And then as I'm looking for the mass, I found out the priest is leaving. So, of course, nosy Nelly here is like reading, and then I hear my music. So, hi, welcome back. Stay off the intimate. Just internet, Allison. Just walk away from the internet while you're on air. So, I like to go on there anyway to see if anybody's left me messages. I don't see anything, peeps. I want to know, do you have signs? Do you believe in God's sentences? Do you think I'm nuts? Well, you don't answer that. I don't want to know that. I just love that you join me in that. Whatever it is that draws you here, I'm so grateful that it does. I really am. I've enjoyed getting to know you so much. I love your emails. I love your messages. I love that you, the social media, again, at Reconciled to You on Instagram and Twitter and Pinterest. Find me there. Follow. I will follow you back. Let's get to know each other. Let's just get to know each other so we can enjoy this journey together of faith. So thank you for those who have taken the time to send me messages. And if you haven't yet, introduce yourself. I would so love to meet you. We are really muddling. That's the word for today. Muddling through some Chesterton out now from Pauline Books and Media, and this really great, another wonderful addition to their classic wisdom collection, Way of Wonder, Wisdom from G.K. Chesterton, so not easy for me to say, compiled by Dale Alquist. He'll be here tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern, live. So excited to have him here and to talk about, like, how do we boil this down to the everyday person who wants to know Chesterton, because I hear about him all the time and people are always talking about him. So how do I boil him down? Like, what is he all about, and how do I understand his writing better? That's what I'm going to be diving into Dale's head tomorrow with. If you're interested, I hope you join us 10 a.m. live again right here on Redbox Media. Download the app. Oh, can we just take another little moment here? So exciting. Some news coming out for you. The app is being updated. Should be done in a couple of weeks or so. Right now, you get a national stream, and we have a few local streams. Well, hold on to your hats, my friends. This is about to explode, and we're going to be localizing in many, many, many more communities. How exciting is that? Your local community news, like what's going on in your area that you can go to events. That's so exciting. Advertisers in your area, if you're an advertiser, start, you know, maybe you'd like to try our Bless the S program. Go to breadboxmedia.com for more information on that. But Breadbox Media, if you don't know this yet, we give back 50% gross revenue of every from every advertiser that you bring into. So much for that. We give 50% gross revenue so if you're an advertiser and you advertise on Breadbox Media, you can choose any nonprofit of your choosing, and 50% of what you give us, we will give to them. That's how we work here. We bless forward what we receive. That's incredible. No one else is doing that. It's called Bless the S. Check it out. There'll be much more information about that coming on. And keep looking in your local, keep download the app and start looking for localized channel in your area. How exciting! Oh, so much good stuff to come out. All right, so speaking of good stuff, G.K. Chesterton. Here's another one I thought was very interesting. This is from The Optimist as a Suicide. And it reads, "The man who picks out some part of Catholicism that happens to please him, or throws away some part that happens to puzzle him, does in fact produce not only the queeriest sort of results, but generally the very opposite results to what he intends." Okay, this is when Chesterton starts to get me a little queasy in the head, making up words. But this I kind of get, because it reminded me as I read it about the idea of cafeteria Catholicism, something that I subscribed to early in my Catholic days. Again, I was born Catholic, raised, went away for many, many years, reverted, came back. And even when I came back, I was picking and choosing what I wanted to believe and what I wanted to follow, and you take exception here and not want to follow that there, and you know, that's antiquated or that makes no sense, and I, instead of getting to understand the area that I was arguing with and get to know why it's that way, ask questions, talk to priests, get a spiritual director, read stuff, read the encyclicals, which are the letters from the popes that were written after great discussion was made on these subjects. Instead of getting to know the information to make an informed decision, I just decided in my own little head, I want this, I want that, and I want. So I always, and I'm not the only one who have said this, but you know, you think about going to a cafeteria and you grab your tray, and then you go down the line and you only pick and choose what you want. Like, I don't want green beans today, but give me some more pudding. That's how I looked at my faith, that I didn't want certain areas of it, but I wanted extra air. Like, I wanted lots and lots of grace, but I didn't want confession. Like, I don't want to go to confession, and I don't want to go to Mass every day, and I don't want to go to Mass on Holy Days of Obligation, which today the Ascension is, May 5th, 2016. I didn't want to do all of those things. But I wanted all the blessings and the grace and the outpouring of God's love, but I didn't want to cooperate in it. I didn't want to participate. I just wanted it handed to me. Grace comes in prayer, sacrament, and scripture. Sacrament in reconciliation, in adoration, in the Eucharist, and calling upon my baptism. And what does it mean to be a baptized Christian? Like, there's all these things that I didn't know. Like, I'm called to be God's daughter always, not just for 1 hour on Sunday, but in all that I say and do and think, what I watch, what I read, what I listen to. God calls me to a higher level of being, and not because he wants to restrict me or bore me or, you know, tell me what to do, but because he wants me to be the best me I can be. He wants me to be me made in his likeness and image. He wants me to be holy and pure and humble and all of these things that I struggle with. And I didn't want all those. I would go down the list and just pick and choose what I wanted. I wanted to be funny, and I wanted to be but I thought I could only be funny if I was crass. I didn't realize that I could love God, talk about God, and still be funny. Maybe you don't think I'm funny. I think I'm hysterical. I crack myself up all the time. I'm even more so live. Oh my gosh, I hope you get a chance to come out sometime live to one of the retreats. I don't know what happens. The Lord just flips a switch and I become a stand-up comedian. I really do. Like, I can say that because it's not me. It's him, and others have said it. It's just, he's so funny. God is so funny. And when he speaks through me, goodness gracious, you just never know what's going to come out of my mouth. But it's not like the old days, but what came out of my mouth was crass and full of innuendo and inappropriate. Now it's like all God humor, and he's funny, and I can't pick and choose what I want from him. I can just open up my heart to receive everything that he has. And in receiving that, and the more I get to know him, the more I want to be like him. And those things kind of just prune out, and I don't pick and choose. I take it all. And then I pray about those things that trouble me or concern me. And I ask for understanding and wisdom and knowledge and those gifts of the Holy Spirit that illuminate this stuff that the Lord is telling me that is part of my Catholic faith, instead of trying to run away from it. I didn't get to talk too much about the posture of worship, but I'll just read quickly. Man found in it natural to worship. He not only felt freer when he bent, he actually felt taller when he bowed. Henceforth, anything that took away the gesture of worship would stunt and even maim him forever. Henceforth, being merely secular would be a servitude and an inhibition. If man cannot pray, he is gagged. If he cannot kneel, he is in irons. And that's from Man in Mythologies, Everlasting Man, G.K. Chesterton. So important to be able to fully participate. We call them Catholic calisthenics, but standing and kneeling and prostrating and all of those things that the Lord has allowed us to do to be closer to him, to give honor to him, it's amazing. Like, if I can pray by sitting, but when I kneel, I feel even closer. And when I lay down with my face on the dirt and just give it all to him, I feel him encompass me in a way like no other. Good stuff. I'm actually glad that we chose this book and that we've managed to get through 2 days. I feel enlightened and encouraged already by Chesterton's words, and I can't wait to get more from Dale Alquist tomorrow, my guest, 10 a.m. live here at A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Breadbox Media.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.